Oh, you feel the presence of God here this morning, can't you? Isn't it amazing that God is actually here when we come to church? We don't just come to church out of religion, do we? We come to meet with God. I wonder if you met him yet. Come walk around now because we've not got a cable. And walk around and see how you are. You know, God is here for you and me. He wants to meet with us today. Make sure that when you come to church, won't you, that you absolutely meet with him. You know, it's funny, Stephen was talking about the power of the name of Jesus. There's that song, isn't there? There is power in the name of Jesus. Didn't think I could sing, did you? But there really is power, and it's here available for you. You know, the other day, on Thursday night, I woke up, and I was singing this song. I don't know why, because I hadn't been listening to it. I was singing that song, there is power in the name of Jesus. So I woke up, and I started praying for things and started saying, so I laid my hand on Stacey's back while she was asleep snoring. And I said, there is power in the name of Jesus. Pretty crazy, isn't it? But there really is, you know. There really is power. And the power of Jesus is what enables us to actually pray. I don't know if sometimes you find praying to God difficult. It's difficult sometimes. But you need to know that Jesus allowed us access to God. What we're going to be speaking about today is another one of our really important values. You know, these values that we talk about are not just of this church, they're of our movement as Amazing Grace. You know, we have three churches now, and each of them are built upon these values. And prayer is probably one of the main ones, because the key to a successful Christian life is prayer, is speaking and communicating with God. Don't know if you know that. But it's the fundamental cornerstone of everything that we are as Christians. What distinguishes you as a Christian from the person next door that isn't? Well, it's the fact that you have access to Almighty God and that he can change every situation and circumstance that you're in. Do you believe that this morning? That the power of Jesus can change any negative circumstances that you're in? What do you need this morning? Do you need provision? Do you need protection? Do you need encouragement? Do you need a husband or a wife? Do you need money? Do you need a house? What do you need? Well, God is here. God is always available to you. If you've put your faith in Jesus, then God is available to you. And I want to speak to you this morning from the book of Hebrews. I don't know if you've got your Bibles with you, but you don't need them, but you can just listen if you like. But, you know, God has written these words by the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And this book, why have I got so many notes? I don't know. This book is full of promises for your life and mine. Do you believe that? That this book, the Bible, is absolutely full of promises, of encouragements, of correction, of instruction for how God wants you and me to live our lives. God really loves you. I don't know if you've realized, but he sent Jesus to die for you and me because he loves us and because he wants a relationship with us. You and I were created by God in order to have a relationship with him. Yeah, he wants us to worship him and to draw close to him. And I believe that God is going to set people free this morning. Did you hear what Stephen was saying there? God is going to set people free. Whatever that situation is in your life, if you have Jesus in your life, you can say, stop, get out, no more. I believe that's going to happen. You know, Stacey and I are here because somebody prayed. Stacey and I are Christians, and we're here and doing this today because somebody prayed for us. A man called Stuart Bray, who many of you know, he prayed for me. I went into this office in Teesside University in 2004, and I wasn't a Christian. I walked in that office full of hell, absolutely full of hell, drinking heavily all the time, taking drugs, had my eyebrow pierced here, my tongue pierced. Wouldn't believe it, would you know? But I was a bit different then, a little bit different, and Stacey was as well. We were absolutely full of hell. We just were addicted to doing certain things, certain behaviors. And it wasn't good for us, and our lives weren't going particularly well. And I went into this office and Stuart was a Christian, he told me, and I said, I don't care. Why are you telling me you're a Christian? I don't care. What are you trying to do? Control me or something? And he kept inviting me to things and I would say no. And eventually I left Teesside and I went, my contract ran out on my job and I went to Lancaster to work at a university there. And I thought, oh, wow, I've left Teesside. I didn't like it very much because I'm from Kent, the Garden of England. It's much nicer. And I didn't like it at all. And so I was there and I was living in the Lake District, beautiful place. And I thought, yeah, this is great. I like this. But then suddenly, out of nowhere, I started to have this kind of urge to return to Teesside. I mean, what the heck? I had this urge to return to Teesside and I came back. I got this job at the university that I'd left before. And to my surprise, I came back to the same office with the same Christian telling me the same stuff about Jesus and inviting me to things. Only this time, I thought, you know what, just to shut him up, I'll go to one of these things. And me and Stacey went together. And you know the story, we decided at one of these nights of this event to give our lives to Jesus. And that was almost 11 years ago. And I tell you, our lives have been transformed ever since. Transformed in amazing ways. The reason I was addicted to negative things was because of hurts in my life and in my past that I couldn't break on my own. But then when I came to faith in Jesus, there's power in the name of Jesus. He changed our lives. He enabled Stacey to forgive the people who abused her as a kid, who sexually abused her as a kid, to forgive them and to be free of judging them and hating them. It's powerful. The name of Jesus. Very powerful. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, you're going to have an opportunity to get to know him. You know, Billy Graham, a famous evangelist, died last year at the age of 99. Had a wonderful, amazing life of preaching the gospel around many, many different nations to millions and millions of people in quite hard circumstances sometimes. But you know what he said? He had massive success in that. God blessed him in that. But he said, I wish I'd have preached less and prayed more. Wow. I wish I'd have preached less and prayed more. You know, much more important than anything is prayer. Let me read to you from the book of Hebrews. This is Hebrews chapter 10. We're just going to read a few verses. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 23. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. You know, the first part of this, the first couple of verses, say that we have confidence to enter the most holy place. You know, you can confidently enter the presence of God if you've repented of your sins and you've come to faith in Jesus Christ. You have confidence to enter the presence of God, where before it wouldn't have been available to you and me. Jesus died so that the barrier between us and God, sin, was dealt with forever. So that if we come to faith in Jesus, we can actually stand in the presence of God. Are you standing in the presence of God? When you pray, do you realize that you're this close to God? You know, you might think that your life is all about the things that you see and the things that you hear and the things that you eat and the things that you touch. But actually, it isn't. You're more than that, actually. What is more important and what's more real and living than anything is the spiritual. The fact that there is a God in heaven. The fact that Jesus came to make a way for us to that God in heaven is a reality that we need to always remember. Always focus on the spiritual, won't you, if you're a Christian? rather than the physical that's around you. You know, Jesus won a place for us in the presence of God. Have you ever been and tried to go to a place and you just realize you're never going to get in there, or it's going to be difficult to get in there? I was reading a story the other day about a man called Terry Virgo, who some of you might have heard of. He started New Frontiers Ministry, which is a number of churches in around 30-odd nations around the world. Amazing man of God. And him and his wife were out in Washington, D.C., and they were preaching at a church, a big American church just outside of Washington, D.C., the capital of America. And one of the people in the congregation that morning had said to Terry Virgo that he worked at the White House, and that if they wanted to, they can go and have a personal tour of the White House. And Terry and his wife, Wendy, thought, yeah, awesome, we'll go. So they went to the White House this day where this guy said he was going to be there. And they went there, and they went close to the railings to where the gate was, and a massive police officer walked straight up to them. And he said in an American voice, which I won't do, "Where do you think you're going?" And he had, you know, these aren't just like English policemen with a little stick and a bit of pepper spray. This is like a big American policeman with a massive gun, holding a massive gun. And Terry Virgo said, "Oh, sorry, we're here to go into the White House." And the policeman laughed. He said, "Why do you think you're going to go to the White House?" And he said, "Oh, sorry, I was preaching this morning. I'm a preacher. I was preaching this morning at this church, and this guy said that we could come in and have a tour." And he said, "Which guy?" And Terry Virgo said, he realized he didn't really know his name. He said, "I think his name was John." And the police officer looked at him. And at that moment, John pulled up in his car and he ran to them. He said, sorry, I'm late. I had a few things to do. Sorry, I'm late." And then John showed his credentials to the police officer. He looked at them. He went to the little cabin and checked them. And sure enough, the gates were opened and they walked in. And they didn't just have the normal tour that other people had. They went right in all the recesses of the White House. They saw everything. They went right up to the door of the Oval Office, which is the president's office. They had unrivaled access. That is the kind of access that you and I have to the King of Kings, to God himself. God, through Jesus, has opened the door. Jesus is the person who actually opens the door for you into the presence of God and for me. The fact is, God loves you and he can't wait for you to speak to him or me. He just can't wait for us to speak to him and talk to him and tell him all our issues and problems, but also praise him and say awesome things and thank him for what he's done in our life. He can't wait for that. Because when you and I, we're Christians, come and stand in the presence of God, it's because we've been made right with God. See, when Jesus died for our sins, he didn't just remove the barrier of sin. He actually gave us this robe of righteousness that allows us to stand in the presence of God. I mean, without this robe on, you're not going to get very far. But because God knows Jesus and the name of Jesus has real authority in heaven, that's what allows us to stand in the presence of God. You know, I've been waiting for years for my son, Nathaniel, our eldest son. He's six now. I've been waiting for 4 years for him to speak to me. You see, he's got autism, and one of the things with autism, certain kinds of autism, is that children can't communicate very easily. I was devastated when I found out about that because I never really had a relationship with my own dad, and I was desperate to have a relationship with my first son. And I was so disappointed and upset with God, actually, that I couldn't communicate with my son. And, you know, God spoke to me and encouraged me, and he said, look, he gave actually, and some of you know this, gave Stacey and I a dream on the same night, where Nathaniel was speaking to both of us, just like I'm speaking to you now. He was speaking, communicating clearly to both of us. But the reason I'm telling you that is because that's a real desire that I still have, and I'm sure it's going to happen one day, that for Nathaniel to have a conversation with me is how God feels about each and every one of us. He can't wait for us to speak to him, because God is full of wisdom and he's full of grace and love for you that he wants to give you and he wants you to learn from. I'm not full of much, actually, that I could give Nathaniel, but I want to speak to him. I want to encourage him. I want to bless him if I can. But God is our perfect Father. No matter what your father has been like in your life, my father was an absent father, never there. I don't really know him still very well. Whatever your father is like, God is a better father. And God absolutely loves you and me. And he wants you to speak to him and he wants me to speak to him. He's full of wisdom, you know. I mean, often we're told that the world is full of wisdom, aren't we? I work at the university and supposedly there's meant to be some intelligent people there, but I've not met one yet. I tell you what, all the qualifications in the world can't get you the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God for your life begins with put your faith in Jesus and then I'll do the rest. If you're willing to take a step and put your faith in Jesus this morning, those of you who don't know him, then he'll do the rest. He's awesome, our God. Second thing this scripture says is about faith. Since we have a great priest, that's Jesus, over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. You know, Jesus said this. He said, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it and it will be yours. Wow, that's a good promise, isn't it? Whatever you ask for in prayer, if you believe, if you have faith, that is, then it will happen for you if it's according to the will of God. I mean, isn't that an amazing promise? What do you need this morning? What are you after this morning? Do you need healing? Well, it's available to you this morning through God. You know, Gabriel was too ill to come to church this morning until we prayed for him. And then I tell you what, he got better and he's here this morning. We weren't going to be here this morning, but God wanted us to be, because I believe God wants to encourage us and encourage you through this word that he's given us. You know, you can read through the Bible and you can see a lot of men and women of faith in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. One of the greatest people, and we're going to have a video in a minute about this guy, is a guy called Elijah, who chose to trust God. And faith is about trust. If you're willing to trust God, that's what believing means. Being a believer means not just to have some kind of vague idea of God. No, it means to put all your eggs in God's basket, to believe that he's the answer for everything in your life. If you're willing to do that this morning, that's real faith. That's saving faith. That's the kind of faith that Jesus is talking about. When you ask for things, they happen. So let's have a look at this video together. Yay! Sorry you couldn't really see that. The curtains are, it's too bright in here, isn't it? But you know what? There is power in the name of Jesus, and God can answer your prayers and mine. You know, many examples were given in the Bible of how God is faithful to his word. Praying is not just about our own faith, you know. It's about believing that God is faithful. God is faithful to the things that he'll say he'll do. God is absolutely faithful, and you can put your trust in him, and so can I. And I want to encourage you this morning, brothers and sisters, to put your faith in God, to put your faith in God's faith, just like Elijah did there. He put his absolute faith in God, and he saw phenomenal, amazing things happen. You know, it's a conscious choice, faith, to trust somebody involves you choosing to do it, doesn't it? If you choose to trust someone, it means you've put your faith in them. And we put our trust in many things without even realizing it. When we get on a bus or in a taxi or on a plane, we put our faith, don't we, in the person driving or piloting. We always, always use faith without realizing it. Many people these days don't put their faith in God and live lives, Christians even, where they're just powerless and devoid of anything happening. I want to encourage you no matter what you see with your physical eyes, to actually believe in the spiritual, that God can do it. Do you believe that God is going to send rain on this thirsty nation to save it and point it back to him? Well, I do. I say we believe in God's promises because God has promised to bring revival to this nation, and I think he's going to do it. God's promised to bring revival to this nation, revival of Christianity, revival of people putting their faith into Jesus as the only way. God's promised to do that. And then from here, it will spread across Europe, because at the moment, Christianity isn't doing particularly well in Europe. Although it's on the rise, the rest of the world, in Europe, in the UK, it's not going so well. We need God. We need God like never before. You notice there's a rise in mental health problems. There's a rise in physical health problems. There's a rise in crime. There's a rise in hate crime. There's a rise in evil. There's a rise in sex trafficking, in prostitution, in all kinds of things like that, because the world is not right without God. This nation badly needs a revival of Christianity. And I believe that God is going to use you and me in order to bring many people to faith in him. If you're in this room this morning, I believe that God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life to make you effective at changing the way things are around us and bringing people back to God. Let me read to you something from James. This is James, the Jesus' brother. It says, is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If the person has sinned, they'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And it says of Elijah this. It says, Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. You know, we can pray in power that God will do things, and he will do them. Are you in trouble this morning? Is there trouble in your life? Well, I believe that God wants to remove the trouble from your life right now, this morning. You know, there was once a man whose name was George Muller. George Muller was responsible for starting the first orphanages in this country. He was an amazing man of God, an amazing, powerful man of God. He was often, towards the end of his sort of ministry, he was asked to go and speak in various different places in various different countries. And this was in the late 1800s, around the 1870s. 1877, I think, he was asked to go to Canada to speak in Quebec to people about what he'd done and his life of amazing ministry, seeing thousands and thousands of children put into homes and blessed. This was an amazing man of God. And he accepted this invitation and he got with his wife on a boat to go to Quebec. It was the only way to get there those days. And he was telling people on the boat about Jesus. He was giving them like little bits of Christian literature and he was telling them Jesus loved them. He was praying for them, that kind of thing. And he was trying to do it with the captain and his crew a bit, but they were a bit kind of resistant. And in the middle of this journey, you know, it became clear that they weren't making very good progress. They weren't getting there very quickly. The boat had slowed right down. And so George Muller went to the captain of the ship and he said, Captain, what's going on? I need to get to Quebec by Saturday. I've never missed a preaching engagement in 52 years and I'm not going to start now. What's going on? And the captain said, oh, sorry, Mr. Muller. Well, can you see around us? There's this thick, thick fog. And we have to wait for it to lift before we can move the boat, because if we try and move it now, we might hit some of the rocks and the boat will be wrecked. So George Muller said, well, if I can't trust you to get me there on time, maybe I can trust God. So he said, come with me. come with me now, captain. And the captain followed him. And he said, come with me to my cabin. And the captain was saying, look at this fog. What are you going to do? This fog is all around us. We can't get clear of it until it lifts. And George said, I'm not interested in the fog. Come into my cabin and we'll pray. So they went into his cabin. George got on his knees and he said, dear God, please lift this fog today so that I can get to Quebec by Saturday. In Jesus' name, amen. And the captain looked at him shocked. The captain started to pray himself. He said, dear God. And then George put his hand on the captain's shoulder. And he said, it's okay, captain. I've prayed in faith that this is going to happen today. And I believe it will. So if you've got no faith, then you don't need to pray. And they stood up. And George said, open the door and you'll see that the fog has lifted. They opened the door of the cabin. The captain went out and he fell on his knees. The fog had lifted and George made his preaching engagement. I mean, we're surrounded by thick fog, aren't we, in this world? The thick fog of sin and darkness is all around us. God can lift it, as you heard a couple of weeks ago from Martin. In a moment, in one day, things can change. If you're willing to pray in faith, that God can do it. Are you willing this morning to pray in faith? You know, it helps if we thank God and praise God. You know, we're going to start, we've given the kids little instruments you saw this morning because we want these meetings to start by thanking and praising God. Because by thanking and praising God, things happen, you know. Have you heard the story of David Wilkerson, the man who wrote The Cross and the Switchblade? You know, they started this ministry called Teen Challenge, and it was a ministry to help drug addicts and gang members in New York. It's an amazing story. You'll have to read it if you haven't read it. But they had this center where they would bring these people, these young people mainly in need, and their lives would be transformed and they would walk out of that center different, many of them getting changed completely and wanting to actually follow God for themselves. Amazing work. They saw thousands and thousands of young people come out of the gangs of New York and become Christians and help them to reach other people who were in need. I mean, amazing, amazing people. But they often didn't have any money. They didn't have enough money to do it. You know, David Wilkerson was just a preacher from a countryside church. He didn't have any money of his own. He didn't know any rich people, really. And the day came when they had to pay the final kind of payment on their mortgage, or the second mortgage, I think it was. And this was in the 1960s. And it was $15,000 that they owed. And at that time, it was a heck of a lot of money. He said to his accountant, how much have we got in the bank? His accountant said, $14. They needed $15,000 and he had $14. So what he said was, I think we'll pray. I think we'll pray about this. And his accountant said, okay then. And he got his attorney, his lawyer, to extend the deadline for this payment by 10 or 12 days. So instead of being due on the end of August, it was now due on about the 10th of September. And he said, what we're going to do in between now and then is pray. And I'm going to pray with the young people. So he got all the young people together in the center at the time. I think there was about 30 of them. Some gangsters, some drug addicts, some prostitutes, some workers, some college people had been to Bible college and were helping them, got them all together, and they went into the chapel that was in this place where they were. And David Wilkerson said, we've got it. The center has been saved. Let's praise and thank God for it. And all the young people were absolutely buzzing, you know. They were jumping around, praising God and thanking God for about half an hour. And then one of them said, oh, can you just tell us, where did the money come from? And he said, oh, we haven't got it yet. And 30 stone faces were like, in an American way, you what? We haven't got it yet. And he said, no, we're thanking God and praising God for giving us it before he does. And they continued to do that. And the days got closer and it got to September the 10th. They had about $100 by this time from donations that people had been sending in. They opened the mail that morning in anticipation They had a few pennies from people and they thanked God for the pennies, but they still were way off this £15,000. So they went back to the chapel and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they thanked God for doing it. The young people, every one of them, was thanking God. And sure enough, in the middle of that meeting, special delivery arrived with a check for $15,000. And the center can continue the work that they knew that God had called them to do. Why did that happen? Well, it was to test the faith. You know, if you rely on God totally, then he wants to stretch your faith. Faith is like a muscle. If you train it well, it can do amazing, phenomenal things. I wonder if you're in need today. What do you need? I've seen many people healed of different things. I've only been a Christian 10, 11 years. I've seen people healed of many things. When I first became a Christian, I remember one of the first things I prayed for, only been a Christian a few months. My friend, my best friend actually from Kent, a guy called Rob, his daughter, who he named Zion, she had leukemia and it progressed very quickly. She was 2 years old, his daughter, and she had leukemia that was stage four. And, you know, to look at her, she was very ill. She had no hair. They tried to put a cannula in lots of places, and because all the veins and the arteries and the capillaries were all broken down, the only place they could put it was in her heart. So she had a cannula in her heart to pump the drugs in some kind of attempt to heal her. This little girl was dying. The doctors told my friend Rob and his wife, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. He was telling me that about this. Me and Stacey were running Christians a few months. And we thought, what can we do? We'll pray. And every night we went and we prayed, not for very long. We just said, please, Lord Jesus, heal Zion. Amen. We did that for 2 weeks. 2 weeks passed and I hadn't heard much from my friend Rob. So I contacted him. I said, how's Zion doing? We've been praying for her. And he said, sorry, I meant to tell you. She's been getting better. I said, you what? He said, she's been getting better. Anyway, Zion is now 12 years old. She's been free of cancer for the last 10 years. I mean, God is good, isn't he? God answers our prayers. Do you think it's a coincidence that she started to get better? No, I think it's because we and some other people were praying for her. Don't forget, will you, that God can heal your sicknesses and your illnesses. Don't go to the doctor first or the hospital first, will you? Go to God first because he can do it. Sometimes he uses doctors and nurses. God bless the medical profession. They're awesome. But I'll tell you what, there's another way, and it's the way of faith. And I want to encourage you to take it. Pray in all circumstances, the Bible says, because when we do that, we won't go down, up and down emotionally, full of elation when amazing things happen and full of depression when bad things happen. If you keep a steady, constant life of praying, then you'll be able to deal with any situation. Just like the Apostle Paul said, I pray when I have abundance and when I have none. It doesn't matter to me. When I'm in prison, when I'm beaten, when I'm shipwrecked, it doesn't matter actually. I just pray because I know that God is with me. Even if I die, I know that God is with me. He said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Doesn't actually matter whether we die, does it, brothers and sisters? Because God is with us. And if you're a Christian in here this morning, you can know heaven for yourself. I want to encourage you to persevere. The last part of this verse says, let us hold unswervingly. You know, when you're in a car and you're driving and something goes in the road and you swerve out the way, that causes you not to be going on the straight line. You know, God wants us to hope in him with our faith unwaveringly and keep praying. You know, when the first Christians, after they'd just seen Jesus ascend to heaven, what did they do? The Bible says this. It said they all join together in prayer constantly, constantly. And they prayed for God to do what he'd promised. And you know what happened? Pentecost is what's happened at every revival there's been ever since in the last 2,000 years, God fulfills the needs of his people. Do you believe that God can come again and do it? Do you believe that God can use you and me, as broken and as lost as maybe we think we are? Oh yeah, he can. He can. You know, when you're standing praying, or when you're sitting praying, or when you're doing whatever you're doing, driving, maybe praying, just remember this. Your prayers are going somewhere. If you've given your life to Jesus, your prayers are going somewhere. You can read in the book of Revelation, we won't read it now because we've run out of time, but you can read in Revelation 8 about where your prayers are going. It says they're going into a bowl, a censer, a golden bowl. All of our prayers go up there. And then when that bowl is full, I think there must be some massive bowls, some little bowls. But when the bowl is full, then God decides to bless it and pour out the blessing. Do you know that? Maybe you feel like your prayers aren't going anywhere. Well, know that when you pray in the name of Jesus and you're led by the Holy Spirit to pray, your prayers are going, they're filling up these bowls in heaven. You know, often when we're at Teesside Park, I had these visions of the angels pouring out bowls of blessing on us. And I have that feeling here again. Should we stand? Do you want to be blessed this morning? Yongyi Chow, the leader of the biggest church in the world, 600,000 people and more in this church, bigger than the whole area of Teesside, this church, one church in Korea, in South Korea. He says this about prayer. He says that prayer is the key to revival. Do you want to be revived this morning personally in your heart? Then let's do it. Would you play on some music, brother? If you need something this morning, if you want God to do something for you this morning, whatever it is, you don't have to share it with me. God wants you to share it with him, though. I want to encourage you right now, lift your eyes to heaven and put your hands out and tell God what you need. Put your hands out as if you're going to receive it right now, as if you're going to receive a gift from Almighty God. Some of us in here have not put our faith in Jesus yet, have maybe been impacted a bit by what God seems to maybe be doing, but we haven't put our faith in Jesus yet. Well, this first moment is for you. If that's you, if you want to give your life to Jesus, then why don't you just raise your hand in the air? And by doing that, you're saying, I want to give my life to you, Jesus. Come and change me from the inside out. Come and use me for what you created me for. Come and save me and heal me and forgive me. So who is it who wants to do that? Everyone's eyes are closed. Who wants to give their life to Jesus this morning? It's the best thing I've ever done. Give my life to Jesus. I've done many other things, not proud of all of them. The one thing I've never regretted is putting my faith in Jesus. All it takes is a little step from you to say, I want in. If that's you this morning, if you want to know that you're saved and you're going to heaven, why don't you just lift your hand quickly? You're lifting it to God. You know, Christians in this area have been praying for God to move for years. Along this coast, that's why we're called Amazing Grace East Coast, because it is about Redcar, but it's also about Saltburn and Mask, and Loftus and Carlinau and Skelton and all the areas in between, Broughton. We think that God's going to pour out a mighty blessing here, and many people are going to come to faith in him. So as you're standing there, ask God for what you need. If you need salvation, if you need to come to faith in Jesus, then put your hand up and say, I want you. If you want healing this morning, be healed now in Jesus' name. If you need money and provision this morning, Receive it in faith now. Thank God for it. In Jesus' name. And if you want to be equipped for revival this morning, why don't you keep your hands out and be equipped? Like I said earlier, I don't think it's an accident if you're in this room right now. I believe that God wants you to be here. God wants to use this church to change this area. And I believe he wants to use you, every one of you, and me, and every one of our children to do it. Truth is, we can't do it on our own. We need each other, don't we? No one can do this without God, though. So Lord Jesus, we pray for you to save us, for you to bless us, for you to equip us this morning. Holy Spirit, come. Bless the work of our hands. Bless these things that we're doing. I pray you would bless the outreach on the streets that Annie, Claire, and Katie and Martin do. These wonderful guys here with Lee and Michelle and many other people. Bless it, Lord. Let it see mighty, mighty things happen. Lives changed for good. And I pray, Lord, you'd bless these gospel nights. Thank you, Lord, that when we preach the gospel, things happen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, if you're in trouble or if you have sickness this morning, if you're in need of any kind, why don't you just come and we'll pray for you? Why we exist, to pray for one another. So if you want prayer, just let us know and we'd love to pray for you. Thank you, Lord.